Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel Sebastian podcast. Each week, we open the Word of God in pursuit of His purposes and will for our lives. We hope that you're encouraged and blessed by this message.
All right, if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We will be preaching out of the Word, so you kind of want to double check, make sure I'm not in any other strange translations or books or anything. You want to double check your pastor. Please raise your hand. Our ushers will be coming around to hand out a Bible. If you need this Bible, this is our gift to you. Please take it. I've actually had some people say, write notes and put them in there and then try to pull the same Bible out. Let's just alleviate that. Put your name in it and take it. That's your Bible. The Lord expects you to walk around and do battle with a sword. The Bible's listed as a sword of truth, and you're going to need that to do life. So just a little bit, about today. We are going to be in Matthew chapter 5. So we're going to be in verses 13 through 16. Some of these you guys could probably recite to me by heart. So this was very intimidating. Pastor Dave was like, hey, here, do this verse, and then he left. And I was like, oh, man, but everyone's heard this one. This gets a little intimidating for a pastor to preach back to you because you've maybe even have this on a coffee cup or maybe you've crocheted into a pillow. But more importantly, the Lord can do something new tonight. And the Lord has prepared something, and it's not your pastor that's teaching. It's the Word of God, and the Word preaches. And so I just kind of want to segue into that. Wednesday night crew is a little different than Sunday crew. Can I get an amen? Wednesday night crew is different from Sunday, because Sunday they come looking for living water. Amen for that. That's a good thing. We love you, Sunday people. Come out for that living water. But Wednesday crew puts on their swimmies, their swimming cap, their goggles, and their flippers, and jump in the fountain. So we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive in the Bible in the beginning, so get ready for that. I'm going to do a little bit of information, and then we can charge forward with that. So we're going to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. But first, I'd just like to just break down a little story for you. I was, because we know it's Joey, so it's history time. We were watching TV the other day, and my son somehow clicked on the YouTube app, and so then it started playing YouTube movies, and then it started playing recommended YouTube movies, and apparently I'm a history nerd because it rolled right over to a history story of a man, and I was like, this is so perfect for this week. Lord, you are even in the YouTube recommendations. And that's how I know God is good. So I put my son to bed, and he's taking a nap, and I'm putting away his toys, and I look up, and there's a story about a little old man who lived in the Swiss Alps. And he got recruited to come over to Austria side to become like a guy that oversees this huge area of land, like a park ranger, but like even cooler because he had the cool stockings and the shoes and how this, he had like almost like lederhosen and he had suspenders. And this guy looked fantastic and he had a fantastic job. His job was to take care of all of the land leading up to the mountains, right? So there's a lot of tourism for hiking and things like that. Well, he did this for so long that the government that hired him, all the old guard, were starting to pass on. And so their youngins were to come and take over, like the sons and the daughters were moving into the position. And they all said to each other, and this is so awesome, they said, we need a pay increase. You ever hear that before? We, the government, need a pay increase. And so they were like, but we can't increase our pay unless we get rid of something or make some budget cuts. And somebody looked and go, look how much this man, that all he does is play with the swans in the lake, and he just clears a little bit of brush from the land. He makes a lot of money. Let's get rid of him. So they got rid of him. So this is their semi-annual meeting. They got rid of him in July. Come fall, the leaves turn colors and start dropping and falling. Sticks are falling. Winter comes. Then spring comes, and all the stuff is all around. And all these picturesque rivers start filling up with, like, grime. And then the people that live there noticed that there was like this yellow film that sat on top of the river, and it started going down the river. And a lot of them have businesses that do like water mills, those beautiful things you see like in a Thomas Kincaid picture. We never see those anymore. I want those back. So this thing is like spinning. All these people that made their money off the water mill, all that stuff started breaking. Then disease went down the river and went into all everybody's crops. Then all the hikers couldn't make it to the mountains because everything was destroyed. And then it got so bad that people were starting to get sick. There was an outbreak. And then it just keeps getting worse, right? Then finally, the governor of that area is like, I'm going to have to go down there and see what's going on. And they get down there, and they question. He goes, how could this happen? Like, we there's money given. This is our lifeblood. This is tourism. Everybody comes to Austria to go see the Alps. This is what we do. How could you let this happen? And there's a lady who was running the government at the time, and she said the best thing. Well, there was a man, and he was taking care of everything. And he said, yes, and he goes, well, he was worth a lot more than we valued him. And they hired him back. And everything got fixed. One man. Not a lot of men. One man. I want you, as we read this Bible verse, I want you to think about, how does God value you? How do you value God's calling on your life? Let's read together. You are the salt of the earth. Listen how God's talking. Look how Jesus in the red letters is talking. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except for to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house in the same way. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. So what's so incredible about this is that this comes on the tail end. I don't know if you remember, we had Pastor Craig speak on the Beatitudes, which is the great, you know, opening of the sermon. And then we had Pastor Ryan Davis come, and he did an awesome job with his message. This is coming on the tail end of that Beatitudes, and actually ties in a little bit of what Pastor Ryan Davis was talking about. What's amazing to me about this is we're going to look at two different sides of this teaching. The first being internal impact starts with the Beatitudes, right? The Lord addresses, the first thing I want you to do is to bring humility to yourself. I want you to come before me in a way that you open up your heart and let me be the one, the author and perfecter of your faith, not you be the author and perfecter of your faith. Let me be the creator of heaven and earth that called you and had a design and a plan, and let me do something more than you could even imagine. I have plans for you. Will you just open yourself up? That would take a certain level of humility. Even if you were to say this, in my current circumstances, my life is falling apart, and now you want me to bring myself low? Yes, says the Lord, because I'm about to do something. I'm about to do something amazing. I'm about to declare who you are. Now, we move from that internal, first you save you, then you can save somebody else. If you look at this picture, some of you guys know this picture. Some of you have flown. What does the stewardess always say? Before you put the mask on somebody else, you got to secure your mask. What's so amazing about this is I did a little research on this. What we're breathing at this particular time is pure oxygen. And some of the people have described, especially this mom with her child, a lot of moms say, I was so nervous, I was so panicked, and then pure oxygen went into my lungs, pure oxygen, and all of a sudden all my senses were heightened. I knew what I had to do in that moment. But if you're deprived of that oxygen, look how you can't even take care of yourself. Jesus is starting in the Beatitudes and said, first things first, get filled with me. Second thing, I declare you are salt. You are. This is the most significant statement that the Lord is going to make in this particular row right here. He's going to go, you are. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write that. You are. The Lord is declaring to you today, not, well, let's take a look at this. You may be, you might, after seminary, if you do a Beth Moore devotional for 1 year, then you'll be, no. What he says, I don't know if you guys do the Bible app. I'm going to be real with you guys right now. Whenever my streak goes down because I miss a day, I get really upset. The Lord's not looking at those streaks. The Lord's looking at your relationship with him and how much of him is in you. And how much of you, your life, you are hiding in him. Now, this is where I want you to point to the first thing. You can't just say good things. This is what the Lord's saying. This relationship with the Lord can't just be about good things. You can't just do good things. That's not sustainable. You must be good. This is what the Beatitudes connection is to this verse. This is just an intro, guys. We're just warming up. This is just like the jumping jacks before the heavy lifting. You must be good. But none of us in this room can claim to be good, can we? We are all sinners, except for when we are in Christ, and Christ in us, and we are clothed in his righteousness. Now I can actively step forward, right? And do the things that he's asked me to do because I'm not going forth in my power. Then what does Jesus say after that? You follow through. He says, even look at verse 12, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven, for the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are going to step into some crazy stuff. You don't get saved and then all of a sudden you get your badge of honor and you walk out and it's just like ticker tape parade. You know, people are like, you're a Christian, that'll be 10% off. No, there's nothing like that. The Lord is saying it's going to get hectic, but it's going to be okay because why? Verse 13, you are. I am Jesus Christ, and I said, you are. Jesus Christ at the beginning of time with God said, let there be light. And light didn't go, well, can I build up to it? No, there was light. You are salt. And if you are hearing today, you have been declared to that Jesus has just gave you your calling for the rest of your life. Salt. It's amazing to me when you get into salt, it's like a little of chemistry time here. Sodium and chloride, when they come together, very stable. How do we know this? You can take salt. You can put it in a bowl. You can walk away for 10 years. You can walk away for 20 years. You can come back. It's still salt. As long as it remains pure and in itself, it will remain salt. It is very stable. Kind of like if you worship in spirit, humility, and in truth, the boldness of I am salt. I've been called. I am light. Let me make myself, just look at this train track that the Lord has given you. Bring yourself low before me and I will make you bold. Be internally meek before me, and I will make you externally bold before men. That's your train track that you're on right now. So that's kind of the beginning of the salt talk right now. Following of that is also, too, when you look at salt, you can't see its potential. I want you to think about this. We're in the book of Matthew. Who is Matthew? The tax collector. In all intents and purposes, he was the turncoat of the Jews. Oh my gosh, that traitor. That traitor, Matthew, Jesus shows up, cool, going to make you one of the disciples. If we were all there, be like, no, not the tax collector, not this jerk face. Are you kidding me? He's extorting everybody. And Jesus would go, no. Put on your Jesus glasses. Look from the power of heaven. Have you looked down to the soul? Have you seen what he can be in me? He didn't give up on the man. He gave the man his potential. And he looked at Matthew and said, you are salt. One of the most amazing things about the first four Gospels is Matthew and John can very, very easily be for non-believers. It's not categorically set up like that. But Matthew and John can be very, very friendly to non-believers. And then Mark and Luke can be very, very for non-believers. We're going to dive into that. Jesus is sitting in front of a non-believer, Matthew, and saying, you are salt. You've been called. I have transcended. I have transformed your plans. I have transformed your next steps just by my declaration. Listen to this slide. I am salt and light. If you're writing a note today, this is what I want you to start with before we dive. I am salt and light. I am salt and light. This is very important for you to declare to yourself because when you get called into a storm, you need to say, I am salt and light. When the lights go out in your life, you need to be able to say, I am light. Because my Father said, I am light. When darkness hits your family, when darkness hits your marriage, job fails you, you have a boss that's crazy, last name Mr. Crazy, you're like, how did I end up with a boss last name Mr. Crazy? Guess what? It's time for you to be light. It's not time for you to complain. It's time for you to be a part of the solution in that problem. It's time for you to be the change. And it starts with Jesus Christ. I am salt and light. Why? Because Jesus Christ has declared it. That's how I know it. And so when Satan visits you and says, you know what? You're no good. Sorry, Jesus said it. Jesus said it. That's my declared. Christ has declared us as agents of change. Absolutely declared as agents of change. Here's a little bit another deep dive for the Bible for you. At this particular time, Rome has taken over Israel, right? So Jesus is standing there and he's giving his Sermon on the Mount, right? And he's talking to his people. These are people that have been beaten and broke down and lost. And he's going, I'm going to give you the authority from me to you to get filled up, to go do the things that I've asked you to do in my name. Go do it. I'm giving you authority when I'm saying I am salt and light. Rome, and mind you, there's a lot of Roman soldiers standing around. Rome had a little saying at this time. This is how awesome Jesus is. Sometimes if you read the Bible, you miss how funny Jesus is. Jesus is super funny. They had a saying, we can take over the world. We can take care of everything. We can take care of all our problems. Little sun, little salt. Here's Jesus on the mountainside. Probably Roman soldiers around. I am the light and the salt of the world. Guess what? You are too. Go be victorious. Right in their faces. Just a little side tip for you. Jesus said this knowing full well who he was looking at. He was looking at people who had no idea that they could conquer, and he's giving them the ability to conquer. Romans 8:32. You know, we've been made co-heirs with Christ, right? We've been raised up, right? We've been lifted up. We're in sharing an inheritance with Jesus Christ. Christ is like, guess what? You've been grafted in. Now you've been made more than conquerors. Who in here would look at the world today and say, I need to conquer something? I need to see some conquering going on. I need to be part of that situation in my life. I need to bring light that shatters that darkness. And what's really interesting to that is he was also giving them value. Salt was worth more than its weight in gold at this particular time. Jesus knew exactly what he was saying. He's saying, you are worth more than gold to me. And I now give you that value. I assign that value to you. Let's look at the purposes of salt. Let's also look at this. This is really interesting. Salt seasons. Can you imagine a life devoid of the seasoning of faith, hope, grace, and mercy? Can you imagine that life? Yeah, it was you before Jesus Christ. Salt seasons. Salt preserves. Salt purifies. Salt heals. This one blew me away. I saw a documentary with these Middle Eastern Bedouins, and they were giving birth in a tent, and I'm like, I can't believe this documentary went this far. Like, I actually got to see the baby. And immediately, this lady grabbed a handful of salt and started rubbing it all over the baby. And I was like, ooh, like I even felt that from where I was sitting. I was like, no, that baby's so raw. Don't do that right then. And the baby cried. And the guy said to the camera, because they're like, why would you salt the baby? That's crazy. Like the film crew was like, maybe we should cut. I don't know what's going on here. And that baby cries. And the man that was helping in the tent that was interpreting, he says, if we don't salt today, baby cry today, mommy cry tomorrow. Purify, antiseptic. Salt makes us thirsty. Salt melts. Salt promotes growth. Now, we're going to focus on the promotes growth part because this is something new and we don't have time to cover all of the salt properties. Otherwise, we might be here for 13 weeks. But we're going to focus on that. But one thing I just want to point out to you, as a Christian, as you dive into your walk with Christ and he empowers you to be this change in the world, are you doing any of these things? You can't go, well, I'm building up to it. I'm only halfway through the Bethmore devotional. No. Jesus Christ said, you are a seasoner, a preserver, a purifier. You are a healer. You are the one to walk. I worked in a place where for some reason the Lord just put this in my life. I worked in a place where I had a lot of lesbian managers over me. And I had, it was the craziest thing, my youth pastor at the time started working at that place. And I followed him to this, you know, to his department. There's all these lesbians there and they knew we were Christians. But they didn't really figure me out yet. But they were picking on him because they knew he was a youth pastor. And the most amazing thing I ever saw was they put out a pornographic magazine on the table and just walked. Now, of course, today's age, you can't do this. It shows you how old I am. But they put a pornographic magazine out. And I remember they put it out on his desk. And they're all giggling, like, we're going to get him. We're going to catch the youth pastor. And you know how impressionable that could be for someone like me looking at my youth pastor. And I'm like, whoa, is this really happening right now? And I just remember him walking over to his desk. And he slowly folded up the magazine and he closed it. He wrapped it in a bag, and then he put it in the trash. And I just remember going over to him, I'm like, Ricardo, what's going on? Like, you know, because you just want to, like, as a teenager, figure out what's really going on, what's happening. And he goes, well, I just know this. I've been called to make a change. And yelling at them isn't going to do it. And being a part of this isn't going to do it. But what I can do is right here, right now, I can preserve purity. Right now, I can season this place. I'll never forget this. I can season this place with the salt of God's holiness. I can bring this to a place where I promote growth. I was like, yeah, right. You know, like my youth pastor, they put down a pornographic magazine. They're not, they don't care about you. 2 weeks later, do you know what we were talking about? How can they, these lesbians, get involved with our church to help stop women being abused in these type of situations? Pornography, you know, sex trafficking. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks from that moment, a huge change. The lesbians came into the office. Of course, we're in a cubicle, so you can hear everything. I'm like this against the cubicle fabric. The lesbians come in, and they're like, we're so sorry. We're so sorry we did that to you. He goes, yeah. He's like, I was really kind of like disappointed, but I'm sorry that you felt that you had to do it. And then they got into a conversation. He was like, let me just explain something to you. I'm not about the exploitation of women. And that struck a tone. They're like, why? And he goes, we've been made in the image of Christ. I'm going to preserve that. These women caught that fire and now are following him to church. Following him to church. Why? Because he preserved what the Lord gave him. Are we doing this in our homes? Are we doing this in our marriages? Are we doing this in our jobs? Are we doing this everywhere we go? I want to show you the dangers on the other side. This is where it gets crazy. Remember I said Jesus is super funny. He also gets super serious. Luke 14, 34 through 35. I'll put it on the screen so you don't have to flip, but listen, same verse, a little bit different of a breakdown. Remember, speaking to unbelievers, now we're speaking to believers. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for soil nor for the manure pile. Get that one in your soul. Jesus talking. I love it. It is to be thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. You've heard today. This is what Jesus says. If you lose your saltiness, if you get infected with something else, if you become a whole nother compound, if you become a whole nother structure, guess what? You're so not good anymore. You are lower in worth than dirt. I was like, ooh, Jesus. Some of us just have a bad week, you know? And he's like, look at this. You're lower than the manure pile. So I looked into this. It goes really, really deep. There was a man that was a merchant at this time, and he knew that Rome was taking over, and salt was very important to him. And I imagine Jesus knowing the story as he's saying this verse. And so he stockpiled so much salt, he built buildings just to, you know, to put the salt. So then he was thought he could like drive the price of salt like up, and then he could sell to the Romans and he could like rip off the Jews. And he was all crazy about it, except he made a fatal mistake. He made his roof out of some kind of wood that had a certain kind of sap. And the water, when the rains came, flooded through the roof and took that chemical down into the salt. And then the salt lost its saltiness. He's got buildings upon buildings full of salt, blew it, lost it all. So he was like, well, what do we do with all this salt? I mean, what do I do with it? So he was like, okay, let's do this. Let's throw it in the field. And then all the cattle got sick and died. And he was like, oh, big mistake. So then he threw it in the water. He's like, let's just get rid of it. Let's let it flow in the rivers. All the fish died. People are like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, just because you made a bad mistake, now we all have to pay. Then it came to this. The only use it had is tear open the bags, run up and down the street, fill the street, and just make the street out of the salt, because that's all it's good for. It's less in worth to Jesus than dirt. It's less in worth to Jesus than manure. Now, the manure part got me really piqued, because the historian in me was like, Jesus, why are you talking about manure? This is very new for you. Let me find out. Well, come to find out that there was a Dead Sea type of fertilizer that they got. And so we went to the Dead Sea, and there's this, you can see it. There's a certain type of salt that washes up on the shore, and it's chock full of minerals. It's not just awesome salt. It's like when you go to the Dead Sea store, it's like, put this salt on your face. Put this salt on your body. Scrub your body. Make yourself shiny, beautiful. Oh, you have a garden? Put this salt in your garden. Your roses and your tomatoes will grow huge. And I was like, you can do that with this? Then there was another ancient thing. People used to go to the bathroom outside. You would take a handful of salt and hit the bathroom with it, right? Why? Because this salt is so awesome, it promotes good growth, your tomatoes, while killing the bacteria in the bad stuff. Is this church known for promoting the good stuff and prohibiting the bad stuff? Are you known for promoting what's good in the Lord and righteous and prohibiting what's evil and not right and that consumes for Satan? That hit me hard. I had to sit there and think, am I that fertilizer in this world? Am I that kind of salt? Jesus is being very, very specific here. There's another side of this. There's a quality to this salt that's different. It's different because it's distinguished, because among all other salts, this is the kind of salt that doesn't just grow plants, it grows them huge. It has multiple uses. and people from all over come. What's really interesting, remember I said deep dive Wednesday people? It comes out of the Dead Sea. Living salt comes out of the Dead Sea. There had to be a sacrifice for it. And then there's the other side of it. The amount that they would sprinkle on the pile, the manure pile, was not much. I want you to just think about this for 1 second. Jesus, with a handful of bad news bears Jews, changed the world with a little bit of salt sprinkling from them as they conquered everything with light and salt. And we are here today still talking about him. He was an agent for change. And this broken world hated him for it, and the brokenhearted would not leave him alone until they had him. I just want you to think about that. We are the living legacy of Jesus Christ today because that salt preserves. And that salt keeps going on. I want you to notice another thing. We as a church don't have any statues around here. That's because we don't look at that. We look at the living monuments that are sitting in this chair today. You guys are the living monuments to the grace of God and the power of his testimony right now. It is my privilege as a pastor to come and teach you because I'm equipping you to go be salt and light in the world. I just do this for 2 hours a week. You get to do it for how many hours are in a week? I'm bad at math. Don't worry about it. That's you in the world. But you go on to do great things. I had a plumber tell me this one thing. This plumber came to our house. And I'm like, didn't I see you at a prayer meeting once? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, didn't you lay hands on that lady that had cancer? And he's like, yeah, let me tell you the story. She got healed. And I was like, oh, man, you were so awesome. I listened to you pray. I listened to you pull out the oil. And he goes, yeah, it was so awesome. Prayed for this lady. She got cured from cancer that night. I'm like, man, they should pull you up on stage. You would be so awesome to pray. And he goes, oh, no, I wouldn't be good at that. He goes, leave that to Billy Graham. Leave that to Mark Ballmer. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a cool, I guess, whatever. But you're such a great prayer warrior. And he goes, yeah, but they would make a terrible me. Because I've been equipped to do what I'm doing right here, right now. Don't you worry about me. You've been equipped to do what you're supposed to do right here, right now. And when you step out, you are salt. You are light. God is already declaring that victory. But you have to be careful because there's a quality question. There's a quality. Are you staying close to the source? Are you keeping yourself pure? I want to tell you this really quick story. There's a place called Nagaland. I didn't think this place existed, but I looked on Wikipedia. It's true. They are a place that's in between India and Pakistan. They claim that they are 90% Christian. Woo! We should turn that place into like a tourism place for us, right? From church, we go, right? What could 90% Christianity look like? We probably get 10% off there, right? So like, that's got to be amazing. Well, most amazing. So this Christian magazine, early in its publication, went out there and they're like, how did you remain so pure? Well, they were like, well, the missionaries came and they gave us the message, thank the Lord. But then they left, thank the Lord. And the guy said, why'd you say thank the Lord? So that we could work on our faith directly to God, not through them. Once the borders closed, it was us and Jesus. And guess what? It was the best thing that ever happened to us. Go out there and be salt and light. They also had this one other statement. They said, how did you keep focused? Like, how did Satan not come in and win? And they have this statement. I love this statement. It says, life raft in the water, salvation. Water in the life raft, death. We don't mix. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And guess what? We're supposed to be distinguished. Just as salt is distinguished from pepper, that's us. We cut an imposing figure on the landscape like Jesus did on history. I was like, that's the most profound thing I've ever heard in my life. And that blew me up. Nagaland, go look it up. It's amazing. But I just want to describe another thing for you. Jesus is saying that salt, that loses its saltiness, when you do mix and you do get sinful and you do get away from God, guess what? You're so useless to Christ, you become dangerous. I want you to think of how many church, maybe even sects, maybe different, breakouts of religions, different faiths, how many were broken down because false teachers came in. They looked like salt, but they were useless. Think of how many wolves in sheep clothing have come into the church and destroyed lives. Why? Because they didn't remain close to the source. But this is what Christ is saying. I need you to realize one thing. You are so much more than you imagine because you are worth so much more than you think. That's what I think of you. Don't settle for less. Settle for Jesus Christ. okay, but I'm a secret agent Christian. I don't really talk, you know, member people, blah, blah, blah. They make fun of me. Mm-mm. Jesus didn't care about that. He went over to the temple and flipped tables. Can you not just stand and say, you know what? My Jesus hung publicly for me. I'm going to tell you what he's done for me. I'm going to tell you what he's going to do for you. You are so much more valuable than you think. Let's move on to this, light of the world. The light of the world has so many other purposes. And let's put this up in here quickly so we can move. Light warns, light reveals, light pierces the darkness, light awakens. Light awakens, light informs. I want you to think about that. Light informs. This is my favorite story about Thomas Edison. His mom was sick. Doctor came out late at night. Actually, it was dusk, and the light was failing. And he said, your mom's really sick. We're going to have to do surgery tonight. He goes, get a candle. Get whatever light you have. Thomas Edison didn't invent electricity yet. Ran and got a candle, put it in the room, and goes, this is all we have. We're poor. Doctor's like, for me to successfully do this kind of surgery, I'm going to need light. He immediately ran and got every mirror in the house and surrounded his mom. Mind you, I don't like this part. He's 9 years old when he did this. I was like, you're too smart. No. 9 years old, gets every mirror in the house, surrounds his mom. The light starts bouncing all around. The glow goes up. The doctor goes, guess what? I can see. Let's do it. Mom was saved. Now, the light source was not in the mirror, but the mirror held the light. You are light holders. Jesus Christ is the light. Specifically, he goes on to say in John 17, 20, 23, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one with the Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is the Lord saying, I identify with you, the light that's been put in me, the glory of heaven that's been put in me, the glory of heaven that's going to raise me from the dead. The glory of heaven that's going to raise me to the right hand of the Father has been put in me. Guess what? Let's continue. He says, I have given them that glory. That's you, the church. I have given them that glory that you gave me, that you may be one, so we are one. Christ is saying, I'm looking at you, and when you look at me, when I say you're going to go on to do greater things than me, it's because I actually put my glory in you, which is the glory of heaven, which is the glory of the Heavenly Father. What part of hell can outpace heaven in its beauty? What part of Satan's armies can outpace the angels? What part of God's power is anywhere insignificant compared to Satan's power? That's the power that resides in you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you, and you burn with that light. Look at this first point for light. Don't hide. Make your works visible. Look at Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. This is not talking about when prayer and fasting, go hide. Don't let anybody know. Don't let anybody know the secret things that you do. No, this is talking about the discipleship. This is there's a gentleman that I spoke to that went out to a part of Mexico where there was sex trafficking. And it just blows me away, this story. And he was just like, I'm going to go save them. And they're like, why? The Mexican officials, why? He goes, because the Lord told me to. They're made in the image of Christ. They're scared little girls. I'm going to go save them. Jesus wouldn't want this. All the Mexican officials on TV were like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. So they joined him. They started a whole movement. They have now saved up, I think this is the number, this was last year, maybe more now, up to 3,000 girls they've already saved. All because he said, Jesus Christ said to, I am the light of the world. Let me shed light on this. You got some problems in this part of the country. I'm not going to stand for it. I've been called. We always like to do this. Lord, what should I do? Go feed the hungry. Do you know anybody that's hungry? I don't even care if it's spiritually or physically. Do you know anybody that's naked? Help them out. Why did you come here? Why did you do this? Jesus sent me because I'm the light of the world. And I know that I can't fail when I work with the Lord. Stay close on this. Don't hide. Don't hide your works. Day of Compassion. I just want to give you like a little kudos to the moms and dads. The kids were out here. They were blessing this church. They made their works visible. They took their time and their talents, and they mulched this whole place. How I know is every time I went to put mulch somewhere, they were already done. And I was like, I really want to mulch, guys. And they're like just blazing past me. These kids were amazing. Everybody driving on the street saw that. How can our works be hidden? How can you hide the light of Jesus Christ? I want you to look at this. Oh, can you put that slide back up? Look at this part of the verse. 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others. They may see your good deeds and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Every good thing that you do should point to Jesus Christ. This is your goal in life. You cannot fail. Second slide. Hold the light and stay close to Christ. You know, when I was growing up, my dad bought me those. If you ever bought a house or you flip houses or anything, you probably get annoyed when you see those glow-in-the-dark stars on the ceiling that you can never get off. But my dad bought me those when I was younger, and he brought them home at night. And he's like, you want to put them up? And I was like, yeah. I was like so excited to put them up. I'm like, they're broken. They don't work. And my dad was like, no, they're not broken. They don't know. They got to be saturated. They got to marinate in light. I remember my dad saying that. They got to marinate in light. And I was like, whoa, okay. So the next day, I opened up all the windows and turned on all the lamps and just let that thing blaze all day. I even pointed mirrors at the ceiling. Just let that thing. And then that night, when the lights went off, they glowed. There is a world full of darkness out there, and they are looking for answers, and they are looking for any kind of light. And we have to be that light. We don't hold our own light. We reflect the light of Jesus Christ. And sometimes the world can get in the way, can't it? Look at this. All around, those are eclipses of the earth. Sometimes the world can get in the way. What kind of moon are you reflecting light back? The only hope of that moon is for the light of Jesus Christ to be fully reflected on it. Otherwise, it can drift into the background and look like everything else. That's why you have to be close to Christ. You have to be close to the source. And Christ is saying here right now, don't let anything eclipse that, or you'll be off mission. And then finally, the last slide we're going to put up right here. I love this particular one because it just reminds me of something. This one is awesome. This is like, I just stared at this the whole time I was writing my teaching. I was just like, this is the most amazing thing ever. I had this one time I went on a mission trip. This is a side story. It's really good. I went on this mission trip, and there was all these foreign nationals like at this mall. I was on another country, and there was another group of guys from another country, and they were like just chasing girls in the parking lot, right? Believe me, we're in another country. We're in a third world country. But they were locking down this mall, right? Because this is the one thing that's pulling in cash in the town, right? Had a movie theater and lights and everything. And there's these guys there, and they were harassing girls, and they were trying to steal pocketbooks, and they were trying to do pickpockets. And I remember this one thing. There was these cops that showed up in a truck. And we saw them because we were walking in. But all these bad guys that were trying to pickpocket everybody, all they heard was the squelch, right? The squelch of the radio. And they're like doing their, they even looked weird. They're like, hey, trying to pickpocket people. All of a sudden they heard that squelch. All of a sudden they're fine, upstanding citizens. Because somebody with authority showed up. Somebody with the authority. Now, it could have been, now these cops, I think they had M16s, right? They had armor. They had the helmet. They had the mask. You couldn't tell who they were, right? Everything's covered up. But it doesn't matter if that's Bob, Frank, or Susie under there. They're not operating under the authority of Bob, Frank, or Susie, are they? They're operating under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's you walking in. Now, I'm cutting that metaphor for you, but I want you to think about this. That authority is not their own. Excuse me, I'm sorry. They're walking under the authority of that government. That government has assigned that for them. That is not who they, when they arrest somebody, they go under the authority given to them by the source. And we are carrying that kind of authority as Jesus Christ did. I want to just break this down for you. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus Christ, the word from the beginning of time, is the light of life. And he's identifying with you and calling you light. What kind of authority did he have when he walked into the grave and said, give me the keys? And now you are called that light. He is uniting you and him and the Father together. What is your calling now? God came to your heart and burned a fire so bright that you were transformed. You were no longer you. You were reborn. And now that soul has been caught on fire. And like a flaming sword, the Lord is using you to plunge into the darkness and shatter it. That's the authority that you operate in today. God has started a revelation, a complete revelation, and it started with your direct relationship with Jesus Christ, right? So I get to know Jesus Christ, and he says, you need to be meek, and now you need to be meek on the inside and bold on the outside. And guess what? I'm calling you to walk that walk, the walk where I walked on water, the walk where I raised Lazarus from the dead. Go and do better things than me. Go and do bigger and better things than me. This is Christ. This is the authority that you operate in. And now that revival has burst into a revolution in your life. You're a totally different person. You see, this church, this ceiling, these walls, that's not his church. You're his church. And the church is supposed to go out from here when we say amen and go burn in the darkness and declare to the enemy, strongholds have been broken. The dead have been raised in Christ. That's you here tonight. We are not secret agent Christians. We don't do anything in secret. We live in the light because we are the light. We are unapologetic. We are blood-bought. And we're sent out in the armor of God, covered and anointed to do spiritual warfare. And tonight, we will defeat that enemy. So I just want to close on this particular thought. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Prepared. Where are you going to cut that blazing light into the darkness? Where have you been called? Where is your place? Remember what that guy said? I'm no Billy Graham, I'm no Mark Palmer, but neither are they as good as I am at what I do. Where have you been called to defeat the enemy? Jesus Christ said the gates of hell will not even prevail. The gates of hell have already lost. He's already declared victory in your life. Right now in your life, your victory. He's called you an agent of change under the authority of Christ. God has crafted you in a perfect amount of preservation against the decay of the world and shattering the darkness light. I just want you to think about this. Some of you in this room, you all know that Jesus Christ was born into a carpenter's house. And he was raised a carpenter, and he was probably an okay carpenter. Let's give him an okay rating, right? On Angie's List or Yelp, okay. But we don't know Jesus Christ as a carpenter, do we? What do we know him as? As our Savior, as our Messiah, as the change that this world so desperately needed. That the world so desperately needed. I want you to think about where you're at tonight. You could easily just say, I'm just this. I've only done this. I have all these regrets. I have all these things that I've dealt with. I have all these burdens. And yet the Lord is looking at you and he's not talking about that, is that? He looks you right in the eye. He looks you right in the heart. He looks you right in the potential and says, you are salt. You are light. Go change the world. You've now been completely made under my authority. Walk in that victory. Tonight, that is your victory. You declare to whatever you're facing tonight, I am salt and light, even into your homes. I am going to conquer. The power and authority of Jesus Christ came from the Lord. In John 17, he said he just gave it to you. And you will walk in complete and total new life and victory.
This has been a Calvary Chapel Sebastian podcast. If you've enjoyed this message, please visit our website for more information at calvaryccm.com/Sebastian. We invite you to join us at any of our services. May God bless you.
Stop stealing my time.